Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today, the franchise family reunion continues with our friend Tom Epstein, brought to you today by Social Joey, Northeast Color, and NetCertive. NetCertive is a digital marketing platform that helps corporate franchise marketers drive more local leads and sales to their franchisees. They do this by helping franchises do hyper-local digital advertising so that every market, every neighborhood gets a personalized message, media plan, and budget allocation to be meaningfully relevant and present to every single local shopper. NetCertive knows that if you don't localize, you lose, and that there's a better way to market locally. Franchisees who opt into digital advertising programs supported by NetCertive average around 20% more sales than franchisees who don't, while franchisors typically reduce their marketing team's operational costs by 25%. Learn more now at NetCertive.com. The Franchise Family Reunion is a series that we're doing now through the holidays, really just catching up with some old friends in franchising. And I really wanted to catch up with our friend Tom Epstein. He's the founder of Franchise Payments Network and Pollinate. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here. Good talking to you, Jack. Wish I could see you.
Yeah, I know. I was just
soon enough.
I was just thinking that I've known you for 10 years, 12 years, something like that. I think this is probably the longest I've gone in that 10 or 12 years without seeing you in person. It's definitely been a different year for networking.
It's crazy. And to think that, you know, the last event we were all at was probably the IFA last year, right?
Yeah.
And I was on a scooter. I couldn't even walk. I had a broken knee.
Oh, I remember that. That's right. Yes. We were going to race those scooters at one point, as I seem to recall, but
yeah.
So the knee is better now. You've had a long time to heal. Are you back out on the road and going off to see clients and meeting with folks, or are you sort of hunkered down still? What's your status?
No, you know, our office here is in Orlando, Florida, and you know, you can't always believe everything you hear in the press, but yeah, the Floridians are crazy. And
that we knew, yeah.
So, you know, I've done some traveling, both personal and business, over the last 6 to 9 months. So, you know, I haven't been stuck at home. And we've had access to some, you know, we take these instant COVID test things here and, you know, to make sure that we're safe to do things. But yeah, I mean, some clients are still very timid and don't want people in their offices. And I understand that. And so those are conference calls or what we were talking about, the Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
But if we can get in front of people, that's still, you know, what I want to do and continue to build those relationships one-to-one. So, you know, have been doing a decent amount of travel and saving money along the way because it's been a little bit cheaper. So it's all good.
It sure is. I just booked a couple of flights and all I can say is I don't think that we're going to be paying these same prices 6 months from now. And I guess that'll just kind of go, you know, with the territory. But wow, if you can get out and travel and see a little bit of the world, this is definitely the time to do it.
100%. Yeah. I took, I haven't done this since I started the company, but I took a 9-day trip, went out to Dubai and, you know, first time in the Middle East. And
wow.
It was just so cheap and everybody was so happy to see a tourist in town that we got treated like sheikhs and, you know, everything was really nice trip for everybody. So
time to do it. I love that idea. So everybody at Franchise Payments Network and Pollinate, everybody's doing well. How's the team?
Yeah, everybody's been good here. Because our industry is considered financial services and an exempt business, we pretty much been in the office the entire time. We've never left the office, with maybe one exception back in June or July, I forget, where we had a little bit of a scare. So we, you know, we had everybody work from home for a couple of weeks, but everything cleared up, and we've been here at the office the entire time. So
wow,
it's been good.
I'm glad you are based there and not in Chicago, New York, or New Jersey, because it would be a little bit of a different story. So let's talk about some of the data that you get through all of the franchisees that are connected through your system. How many franchisees are we talking about, or local businesses across the country that you're actually connected to and getting real-time data from?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So if you follow me on LinkedIn, I post once a month, and I think, Jack, you've been kind enough to repost some of this stuff on your sites or even on this show. And, you know, when I do, it's just franchise. We do have some other businesses that we're doing, you know, mom and pop stuff, and I'm not really trying to get that business. It would just be if, you know, a franchisee has a wife or a husband or a friend or something that wanted us to help them.
We all know that franchisee that has the spouse or the brother who's got the side business, right?
Yeah. And they all want that national pricing that we gave, you know, but it's okay. We're not, you know, we're not trying to get that business. So we're not spending any marketing dollars on it, but so the numbers that we post are for literally for, you know, we work with about 190 franchise brands and, you know, literally, you know, thousands and thousands of franchise locations. And, you know, what we're seeing, you know, throughout the whole thing has been quite interesting. You know, we certainly got, you know, some fallback back. I think our worst month was April. When you're looking at the total volume of sales that the franchisees were processing. But, you know, some interesting things that I just posted today and kind of in preparation for this podcast, but as well, just my monthly post, I was looking at it and, you know, October of 2020, the processing volume, same store sales, so not new stores, not, you know, anything like that, same store sales over October of 2019 were up 16.5% in total volume.
Wow.
Which is, you know, that's a great number. In previous posts, you know, I would post, hey, they were up, you know, 3% over last year, 2% over last year. And, you know, my subtitle would be, you know, I'm happy we're up and not down. That's not the kind of number I would want.
Yeah. Anything in the positive territory is a good thing this year. Yeah. But 16.5%. Oh my gosh.
16.5%, which is amazing when you look at it, and it's up 8.7% over September of 2020. So, you know, the trends are heading in the right place. And then the other thing I looked at, which totally surprised me, was I said, okay, well, let me take a look at year-to-date numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So through the end of October, year-to-date, we were up like 0.5% over year-to-date same time period in 2019. So the last two or three months, we've recaptured everything we lost during the worst part of COVID. And now we're looking at November, December as hopefully, you know, to end up with, you know, at least a little bit of an increase over for the entire year, which would be amazing.
Yeah. You know? If we were having this conversation back in May, we would have given our right arm to say we're only going to be 15% down this year. Right. Or, you know, we wouldn't have even dreamed of breaking even in the franchise community. So to be up at all after, you know, the big hits in March, April, May, that is really impressive for this community.
It really is. And, you know, it's across the board. So I'm not talking about any one brand. Certainly there's some brands that have had more challenges than others and some that have really capitalized on the COVID situation and able to actually do much better than they did pre-COVID. But, you know, it, as an industry, I look at it for franchising. And, you know, so one of the things that, that I'm going to be working on trying to drill down a little bit more into is, well, what does that mean? So I'm only seeing credit card sales, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't see cash check, you know, in most cases. We do ACH for some, but we don't see a lot of, you know, non-credit card sales. So we're going to be starting to look at some of these chains that we see that are way up and analyzing, is their business way up or is it the customers? Are they using more credit card because they don't want to use cash? They don't want to, you know, use, you know, check or something of that nature.
Yeah.
And so is it truly the franchisees are doing that much better or has currency changed a little bit? So, you know, we're going to be taking a hard look at that, but you know, at 16.5%, I got to believe that it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. I don't think we were using that much cash a year ago. Even before, you know, becoming a touchless society was in vogue, people were still pretty much attached to the credit cards. I mean, if you wanted to compare it to 20 years ago, yeah, but 16.5%, that's got to be a lot more than just a transition from cash, I would say.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's some businesses that are almost total credit card when you're talking about lodging or fine dining or, you know, situations that. But there are definitely some businesses that have moved more to credit card to make it easier for customers to pay them. It, you know, they don't want to be in front of them. They don't want somebody to write them a check and have to hand them a check that somebody's touched. So we're doing a lot of things around, you know, for service industries, like setting up situations where they can email them a link to a payment form and they can make a payment online or from their phone. Hmm. Or, you know, situations like that, so that, you know, it is moving more business to credit card in the service industries than they've traditionally seen. So I think that's kind of where we're seeing a lot of that. And it's also driving, you know, another number that I was looking at this morning, my average ticket across my portfolio in October of 2019, the average size that's a customer would run through, you know, a merchant account that we're servicing was $63.39. In October of 2020, it was $77.90. That's a huge increase.
Yeah.
To an average ticket size.
Sure is.
So we have to kind of do a drill down there and figure out what's driving that. Or, you know, if you're a restaurant and you're doing takeout, I kind of feel like some of these orders are bigger. People look at the menus and they overorder. And then maybe they're ordering extra because they know they're going to eat again tomorrow.
Right, right. Or maybe there's increased, are there some increased fees for delivery or maybe people are tipping bigger these days?
Well, you see, we don't see a whole lot of the delivery stuff. So if you're ordering and it's an Uber Eats or one of those guys like that, then it's not going through the merchant account that we would have with that merchant. So we don't get that, but it could be higher tipping. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people I know, me personally, if I see somebody working in that environment and they're out there hustling, I'm going to tip them more than I might have in the past because I know that, well, one, they're not getting as much business. So I want them to I appreciate them. But number two, I also appreciate them being there in a difficult time, you know?
Right. Right.
And being pleasant.
You know? Right. Right. I don't want them to go away. They're making my life better right now. Yeah. That's
100%.
That's the tipping mentality in 2020, I think. Let's talk a little bit about loyalty programs. Outside of just processing payments, you are neck deep in loyalty. How do you see loyalty programs and different systems that people have in place, whether it's for restaurants or other types of franchises, how is that going to play into what everyone is doing next year? And will loyalty programs, you know, really sort of explode coming out of this?
I think they're exploding now. And I think that the brands that are proactive understand that it's been difficult for them as a business. You know, the franchisees have gone through some, you know, difficult times, you know, having to change their business model or change the way they do business or how they interact with customers. But it's also a difficult time for the customers and how they interact with the brand. You know, you can't go into a restaurant in a lot of places. And if you do, you got to wear a mask or whatever. And it's just, it's not the same thing. You know, I was in a Mexican restaurant the other day with one of my coworkers, and we were just going to sit at the bar, and they had these little plexiglass things between every other seat, right?
Right. So
it's not the same experience where you can sit at a bar and just talk to people, right? So I think people understand that it's not only hard on the business owner, but it's also hard on the customer. And so what we need to be doing is over rewarding, if you will, those customers who have stuck with you through all this time. So we talked about how I might tip an employee of a place more. Mm-hmm. I think the businesses need to tip, if you will, through a loyalty program, the customers more for continuing to frequent that business and really reward them for doing that. And so you're seeing some brands where they are doing that, where they're setting reward thresholds to really, you know, to take care of those people that stuck with them. And as you come out of COVID and all your competition is back to normal and you're back to normal and whatever, there's this whole competition for share of the wallet, if you will. So, you know, if you're a hair salon and, you know, cater to men and, you know, men get their haircut every 3 weeks or something like that, and you notice that they missed them one time, well, you missed them. They got their haircut somewhere else.
Yeah.
So how do you need to think about how to keep them with you. They were with you through the bad time. How do you keep them with you as your competition opens back up? And it's getting more aggressive on the loyalty side of it, which isn't necessarily, you know, giving away more product or giving away more discounts. It's getting them to come back in more often so they're spending more with you and you get a bigger share of their wallet, as well as getting them to actually promote your business to their friends and family and saying, hey, these guys were amazing and the customer service experience I got there was great. You should also come in and join the loyalty program and get the same experience I get. So I think that loyalty is going to be a big part of everybody's business, whether you're a franchise or not, not only keeping those relationships with customers, but repairing those relationships if you were in a position where you did have to close down or limit your operations in some way. It's a good way to repair those relationships. And as you come out of this period that we're in, help you grow that business ahead of your competition.
Yeah, I think we've been saying this on this podcast for several months now. People are going to remember how brands and local businesses treated them during this time. So if you made a new customer, maybe they checked you out because the place they normally went was closed down or had limited access or something like that. If you have some sort of loyalty program in place right now, that could be like the once in a lifetime chance to really make that customer feel like they want to keep coming back. So this is, I think too many people think about, well, when we get through the pandemic, I think there's so much opportunity right now. And the numbers that you're sharing really show that some businesses, especially in franchising, are really growing right now and they're doing a good job of that.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a mindset that, you know, as a business owner, you have to have. And I think franchises in general are optimistic people and they kind of have that mindset. But, you know, it's in difficult times that you make your most loyal customers and you keep your most loyal customers and you learn how to get your business to a point where you're ahead of your competition by making changes quicker than others. And that's really how you define a brand, is not when everything's going great, it's when things aren't going great. So, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. It's, it's now is the time, you know, it's probably late right now because I think people are starting to think in terms of after COVID, whereas 3 months ago they were thinking we're in COVID. That's when you should have been altering your strategy and changing your, you know, the way that you're positioning your brand and really making those changes to win the business in the future.
If any of our listeners need some help coming up with some ideas for loyalty programs, or maybe they've got some questions on any of the numbers that you are sharing here today, where's the best place we can send people to have a conversation with you?
I would welcome anybody to just shoot me a quick email. You can, it's Tom Epstein at franchisepayments with an S. .net.
Tom, thanks so much for being here and for the update. Please keep those updates coming. It's all been very positive and optimistic news so far. And fingers crossed, we're going to see even more of that in the coming months.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate your time and keep doing this. We love hearing you and love hearing these updates from our friends that we don't get to see anymore.
And now it's time for the Health and Safety Spotlight, brought to you by Northeast Color. Every week, we're looking at and sharing stories of franchise brands making a difference in health and or safety during and after the pandemic. As COVID-19 numbers increase, Smoothie King is bringing back a promotion this month to support immune health and wellness. Guests can add a free immune support enhancer to any 20-ounce smoothie or larger while using Smoothie King's Healthy Rewards app. The immune support enhancer is a natural supplement made with natural ingredients containing high levels of helpful minerals like zinc and selenium. It's also a good source of vitamin C and E. Juan Kim, CEO of Smoothie King, said, "A well-supported immune system is key to maintaining good health, so we're giving our immune support enhancer away for free because we care about our guests' health and wellness." If you have stories about how your franchise system is keeping everyone healthy and safe, let us know. We'll share them here thanks to our friends at Northeast Color. Northeast Color is offering franchise systems help with social distancing floor decals, signs and window decals, suspended partitions for the front desk or workout stations, parking lot signage, and hand sanitizer pedestals with signage, all fully branded and customized for your franchisees. Learn more now at northeastcolor.com. And thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. On the Social Geek Radio Network.